Coming back from
coming
injury.
Back, though.
Coming back from injury. We'll
pitched
see what he does in
Tuesday
Toronto.
Tuesday at noon.
That's a good pickup for Toronto, isn't it? I don't know.
Is he good to go? I would think he's good to go.
I would think so, too. Yeah. I'm sure they came and watched him pitch the other day.
I'm sure they did.
It seems to me if you're Toronto, that's a good pickup for the Guardians.
Four. Yeah. They've added a top-of-the-line starter for not a big expense, but they gave up a highly rated prospect in their system. The question to me is, Andy, it's as simple as this.
Mm-hmm.
Was Shane going to pick up his option? If he wasn't going to pick up his option, then I'm glad that the Guardians traded him. Glad. Why would you let him walk away at the end of the year? And you could say, well, okay, because he might come up and pitch five or six games for the Guardians. Might is a key word there. The rotation has not been a drastic issue with this team. I think the rotation has been really pretty solid. So if he wasn't going to pick up his option, I'm glad they got something for him. If he wanted to pick up his option here and be back next year, well, then they never should have traded him. So I would assume that he didn't want to pick up his option.
Kai Stevens.
Cal.
His real name is Michael, by the way.
Mike Cal.
Right-handed pitcher, 6'4", Jeff. You would like him in the outfield, too, wouldn't you? Maybe.
Left fielder as well.
Yeah. 215 pounds, 22 years old, in the minors this season, 9-1.
He was in college, not too long ago, like last year.
With a 2.06 ERA, 18 games in the minors. Was at what, Ole Miss? Was at Mississippi State.
And Purdue before that. So he's an Indiana kid.
So he gets to kind of come home. Let's see. I don't know. That sounds promising to me, especially if you thought you weren't going to get anything.
Hop on Route 30.
Yeah.
You're right back home.
Easy. That's kind of a typical Indian/Guardians trade. I'm like, that makes sense to me. I get it.
If you didn't want to pick up his option.
Right.
I wonder if he picks it up in Toronto. Toronto has a lot of money. Maybe they extend him.
Well, it gives them a chance to interview for the rest of the season.
And if you're Shane Bieber, you might just say, okay, great. I'm gonna pitch in a playoff race, maybe in the playoffs, which could enhance your value, and you could pull a Matthew Boyd.
No hesitation. They traded him to an American League team.
I couldn't care less.
Well, I care about that. I'm not a big fan of trading to the Tigers, Jeff.
How big of a help is Paul Sewald going to be? Who knows? What do they get? I don't know. Who knows?
It's player to be named later, or Cash.
Paul hasn't pitched in 20 days, and that's a shame because I thought he'd have been a really nice pitcher for this team. He's only pitched in 18 games. He's had a couple of injury situations. I hate to see that trade, Andy. Again, maybe the Guardians didn't think he was going to contribute down the road here. And they think they'll end up getting something decent from Detroit for him. Maybe. If it's just money, then that just screams money trade.
Right.
So,
or maybe they wanted to give somebody else. He's already here. They're giving opportunities to guys that he's not. If you're not using him, other guys are getting opportunity anyway.
Right.
So what's the difference? You're 2.5 back, Jeff, in the wild card. Are you in or are you out? You're 2.5 back.
Well, you're in competition for it. Are you going for it? No, clearly not yet. Let's see what they do. The day's young. I don't have an issue with the Bieber trade because based on assuming that he wasn't going to pick up his option for next year. Mm-hmm. That's an assumption. We know what happens when you assume. But the Sewald trade, though not a major trade, makes you think, they're selling off parts here. And if they think, Andy, they can sell off parts that aren't key for them, and this is a real fine line. If they didn't think Sewald was going to be a major contributor in the bullpen down the stretch for them, and they think they can get something for him or save some money that maybe they can use somewhere else, and I hate the save their money part, then okay, I can buy it. If they thought Sewald was going to be really good, down the stretch or whatever, then that's not a good idea. Let's withhold judgment until we see what Paul does in Detroit.
I want to get into this a little bit later because I just think it's a Kwan to me, Jeff, is really a defining player and what they want to be down the road and where they've been in the past and where they're going in the future. So, and it's because of the contract situation. It's because of what's happened over the last week. Because I think it's that front office got put into an awkward position when you lose your closer and you lose him to to a gambling allegation.
Yeah.
And maybe he was the guy that was going to go, and you weren't thinking about maybe not trade. I think you have to look at them both on separate tracks, but yet I'm sure in some ways people were looking at them together. And I can't imagine what this week has been like for Chris Antonetti over there, trying to figure out what, because it would have been easy. Like they go into the 10-game losing streak and they don't come back and they don't play hard and tough and come back together and kind of get themselves, you know, going in the right direction. And you sit here on the day of the trade deadline and you're 2.5 back. Forget about any other team, knowing that, you know, you got 2 more months here to try to kind of get through this thing and try to make a playoff spot, knowing where you were last year. Like, who are you and what do you want to be?
People don't want to hear this. I think the front office, you know, and every front office does it all the time, Andy. It goes through a period of self-evaluation. And they're looking at their team and thinking, do we think we have enough to compete, you know, and be a playoff team, get into the playoffs and be a playoff team? Maybe they think they do have enough to get into the playoffs as is. And maybe they think, and even if we do, we're not going to go anywhere. You know, their offense isn't good. I mean, let's not, I mean, we've all talked about that all year long. And though they're major league hitters, guys mm-hmm. can get hot from time to time, and all of a sudden you pop, you know, pop 10 runs, you score 5 last night, you get 6 pitchers who throw a shutout. Terrific. That's outstanding. That doesn't mean this team is built to go deep into the playoffs. I don't think it is. I've said that all along. I think their offense is, ugh. I mean, there are very few guys on this offense that I think, yep, that scares the other team. In fact, I would say 2 guys. I mean, that's no surprise to anybody. And 2 guys offensively probably aren't going to get you into the playoffs, which might be why in this situation, and I've been looking for reasons that Stephen Kwan's name is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't trade him. I've been looking for reasons why his name is out there. The only thing that I've been able to discover that I think, all right, I can see that. Very few bats left on the market right now. You know, Suarez goes back to Seattle where he played before. Josh Naylor goes to Seattle. Bats are, you know, Randall Grichuk gets traded. Brian gets traded. There aren't a ton of bats out there. If some team is desperate for a bat to add to their playoff push, and the Guardians think Stephen Kwan's value will never be higher and they can make an absolute haul. All right, let me see what you get. But I wouldn't trade him. Maybe some team is ready to overpay for Stephen Kwan. If they are, Andy, that's where this self-evaluation comes in, where they think, yeah, we're not good to go. This team's not good enough. David Sampson, who we've had on our show numerous times, was on the morning show today,
yep.
Former bigwig for the Marlins.
Right.
He said he thought the Guardians' window is closed. Not this year. Their window is closed, and it's time to kind of kickstart it and rebuild a little bit. Maybe the Guardians feel the same way, which is why
I think he's doing that. That's his opinion, though. I don't think he's...
It's his
opinion.
Do you
think that's inside information, or do you think that's...
No, I mean, that's just an opinion. Window closing is just an opinion. You know, do you think this team's good enough to compete down the road?
Well, you could know something. I mean...
Well, no. I mean, what do you know? The team's not good?
Well, no. I mean, you have somebody in the front office is going, hey, we decided we're closing the window on this thing. I mean, that's...
Well, not closing the window. I think it's either open or it's not, based on whether you have the talent to
compete. Yeah, so if somebody in the front office said to him, hey, I think we're closing the window, you could get inside information on that. That's not...
I think a baseball analyst can take a good look at it and think, do you have enough talent here to compete? I don't think they do.
I think somebody who knows somebody in Major League Baseball, probably in every front office, could get information on that. I don't think it's that hard.
I don't think there's actually even information to be had. I mean, if you know baseball, look at the team. Give me the hitters that are going to be on this team. I don't see them.
Well, they must think something, or they think that these hitters that are hitting below 200 might have some kind of upside to them, that they're willing to let these guys hit through it, but yet they're not willing to let them sit there every day without platooning them, so they can't make a decision. So if they've got to make a decision, like say somebody said, all right, we made a decision, we're not doing this anymore, And he may have found that out, or maybe you're right. As an analyst, he can figure those things out too. But I mean, we're debating nothing here, to be honest with you. So
I'm sure baseball people look at this team and think it's not very good, and the offense isn't very good, and there aren't a ton of bats on the way to help. And I'm sure that's what David Sampson's drawing his conclusion for, based on.
Anyway, it's 2.5 back. That's how I see it. And
yeah,
I think,
right,
you
there.
Know, I think you have to look at, I think every season should be an opportunity. I hate the thought of a professional team walking into a year and saying, well, we're not winning it this year. I don't care if it's the Browns going 0-16 or even 0-17 these days, or just, I mean, I got to believe in the beginning of the season, that there's got to be some kind of hope, because otherwise it's like, it's all about playing for the process. But I also think you can catch fire too, and we've seen this in baseball, that, you know what, if your rotation just becomes totally lights out and these guys you're waiting to warm up and start hitting, you know, on a regular, consistent basis, like Manzardo again yesterday, but yet they still decide that even like Fry hits a home run, then they end up taking him out of the game. Like, I just, there are some things I don't understand that they're doing, and maybe it's just analytics, and maybe I'm just not supposed to know what they're doing, and just have blind faith in the fact that they wear a jersey that says Cleveland on it, and they know I'm going to root for them. But I'll go back to what I heard over the last 24 hours, that if this team lets Kwan go, there are fans that said they're out. It, you know what, in a 24-hour period, I believe them for 24 hours, 48 hours. But if you turn around a week from now, when all of a sudden they're sitting in a wild card spot, those same people will be like, well, you know, I was out when they traded Kwan, but, you know, they're in, I'm watching, but they don't have enough, and there's no way, and this team isn't good enough to go very far. And then all of a sudden they find themselves winning a series, and they're like, oh, they still, I don't even know why we're doing this. Like, that, it, just take the chance and the opportunity and see where you can go with this thing.
Some of this comes down to trust, and, you know, do you trust the front office? I have, because they have a track record of success. That said, trading Kwan, that'll be a tough sell, Andy, if something happens there. And Kwan came out yesterday in a story in the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com, a really well-written piece. It was Ethan Sands, I believe, who wrote it. And he said, hey, I'd love to be here. I love everything about this team. And I thought, well, that's telling. Here's the exact quote. You ready? As far as, would you sign here long term, and would you like to enter into negotiations? I would love to. I love it here. I love everything about this place. If they gave me the opportunity, I would love to. So that takes away one thing that we had thought. Maybe he's not going to resign here. Well, now resigning here and resigning under the right price is a different story. And it was Ethan Sands who wrote it. Go read it. It's a really good piece on Stephen Kwan.
I got a minute here. Let's take a phone call. Dave is in Bay Village. Hey, Dave, how are you?
David.
Hey guys. I don't envy Antonetti and Chernoff at all. I think they're in a tough spot. You know, I wouldn't be in favor of trading Kwan, but Jeff, you kind of dropped a little nugget here a few minutes ago, and I think that it needs to be kind of brought out again. You know, no one wants to trade Kwan, and probably the front office doesn't want to either. But the question is, for the sake of our conversation, let's just say they don't trade him. You're still stuck next year looking at this outfield saying, where are these bats going to come from? Because right now in the minor leagues, they don't have people that are ready to come. You know, Chase DeLauder, we don't know if we'll ever see him. I mean, let's face it.
David, that's right.
I mean, he's kind of like Adam Miller was when we had him as the pitcher.
Top
they
pitching
had.
Prospect until a blister.
There you go. Dave, thank you for the phone call. You want to join in the conversation? 216-474-0092. It is trade deadline day. Let's talk about what this means for the philosophy of the organization if they should make the big trade that everyone's kind of on eggshells about. We'll talk about that when we come back. 216-474-0092.